1 Peter chapter 4. I don't have this on the screen, so I want you to look at your Bible and just kind of understand where I'm coming from this morning and what I'm going to be. I'm nervous. I am. I don't usually get this way, but I'm nervous on this one. So y'all pray for me, okay? Because this is going to impact some people's lives. I promise you it will. Okay? Well, let me say this. The impact is already there. Hopefully, I'm just going to help people deal with it. Okay? This Bible will help you. Even if you've done wrong, this Bible will help you. You know that. Say amen. Amen. So, 1 Peter chapter 4. Let's pick it up in verse 14. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. And on their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. It means that if somebody don't like you and they treat you bad because you're a Christian, then be happy about that. Okay? Because they hated Christ. They hated Jeremiah. Saul hated David. They hated Moses. They'll hate anybody who wants to serve God. And if that's how it is with you, remember what Peter and John did when they were preaching in the temple about Jesus Christ and His death and resurrection and how they could be saved by grace through faith. When they preached that, the elders brought them in, said, "How dare you preach that?" And they said, "Don't preach it anymore." And they said, "Well, we ought to be able to obey God rather than men. We're just going to preach it." And they beat them. They gave them a whooping. Grown men. They gave them a whooping. And they walked out of there rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a good attitude, isn't it? Amen? That'll help you. It'll help you someday. You're going to need that. All right? Now look at verse 15. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. He said, yet if a man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. So he's saying here, now if you're getting punished for something you did wrong, take it. That's no big deal. That would punish everybody that does something wrong. Amen? Amen. I think we're living in a godless society, and I think one of the things they need to do is build more jails and actually keep the people in there that are doing wrong instead of letting them out every other day. Amen? Amen. That man that shot that cop in cold blood, execution style yesterday, he shot him in execution style. Back in the old days in this country, it was a shame to shoot a man in the back. He shot him, drilled him right in the back of the head, and then shot him as he's going down. Bam, bam, bam. And they caught him. And he said, he's got a record. He's been in trouble with the law before with guns and this and that and the other. Okay? That would keep some people locked up. So he said, if you're suffering, if you did something wrong and you suffer, don't you dare get up in front of everybody and say, oh, I'm being persecuted. No, you're not. You're just getting what you had coming. Amen. Amen. Now, verse 17 is the key right here. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved. Look at that. Where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. I want you to think of where the house of God is. The house of God is, number one, your body, your temple. That's number one. A house of God could be the house that you live in with your family. I think if your families ought to worship God, amen, in their homes. Amen? I think they ought to do that. House of God would be here in this place. House of God would be Christianity. Those who truly believe the Word of God, that's the house of God. And that applies to Jefferson County, Missouri, United States, Kenya, Canada, Australia. wherever anybody is, that's what that applies to. All right? And listen, the time is come that judgment begin at the house of God. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. All right? You pray for me. I am shaking. I ain't kidding you. I'm nervous on this one. All right? And I'll tell you what I mean here in a little bit. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask for God's help. And you pray for me. All right, Lord, I need your help to preach this message. Lord, I'll just need your help to get through it. I need your help, Lord, to keep standing up. And I pray, dear God, that you would use this for your glory and your kingdom. God, I don't want to preach condemnation. I don't want people to think, Lord, that I'm just looking down at everybody, because that's not the case. Lord, Father, your church and your people, Lord, there's some sinners in it. We're all sinners. And Lord, there's some people, dear God, that just need some help at this time. And I pray, Lord, that you would grant it to them. Lord, help us today. Help me preach this and help us to receive it, God. Thank you, Lord, for helping me, for laying it on my heart, God, and not letting me try to get out of it. And Lord, just use it for your glory and your kingdom. We pray in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said. I'm going to tell you where I'm going with this, all right? Look up on the screen. It's the commandment. There's 10 of them. God gave to Moses, wrote them on 2 tables of stone. We talked about that in Sunday school. Wrote them on 2 tables of stone, front and the back. That way you couldn't take away from it, couldn't add to it. By the way, in one of the early printings of the King James Bible, it was called the Adultery Bible. Because the printer, they used to lay in typeset by hand, and they'd lay it in backwards. Okay? So they could put it on the, print it on the page. The typesetter left out the word not. In that edition of the Bible, when they finally caught it, they had to reprint it. But it said, thou shalt commit adultery. Okay, that was a bad mistake to make. Amen? Thou shalt not commit adultery. He said it again in Deuteronomy 5. Neither shalt. There's two copies of the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament. Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. They retell the commandments. Neither shalt thou commit adultery. How is adultery defined? Adultery is defined anything. Any adulteration of the marital act is adultery. Does that encompass everything you think? Is that fair? It sure is. The day after the Supreme Court allowed gay marriage, I preached a message on it. Okay? I'm preaching this one here to us. Because judgment begins here, doesn't it? Okay? So you know where we're going with it now. All right? There's a website. I'm not even going to give the name. I don't think this is the only website that does this. There's a website on the internet that specializes in hooking people up to commit adultery. Okay? It's all supposed to be private. It's all supposed to be nobody can find out. Give us your credit card number and we'll be the only ones that know this. Okay? Somebody hacked into their computers and downloaded the database that they had. 35 million users in this nation. 35 million people in this nation had their credit card numbers, their email addresses, their names, all associated with this information. They threatened to let it out, and they did. Weekend before last, something like that. They let it out, and I don't even know. I'm not looking. Apparently you can go someplace on the internet, I don't know where it is, and find out the names that are on this list. 35 million people. There's already been suicides in this nation. Already has been people committing suicide in this nation because they realized that their name was out there being associated with this place, this website. That's just one website. A sheriff killed himself because his name was on that list. Okay? Now, some of you may have heard that one of the Duggar family has admitted. So that's the first thing that came out. Listen to me. People started looking at this list. They were not looking for Charles Manson. I just kind of made that up. They were not looking for people who are lost. They were specifically looking for high-profile people who have associated themselves with Christianity. And that's the first thing that came up. And so he's had to come out, number one, and admit that he had a troubled past at home, got in some things, and then now recently he's been caught. Okay? He needs God's people to pray for him. Amen? Amen? Okay? So I wouldn't have even said it had he not come out and admitted it. But he's admitted it. Okay? At least one of probably a large number of people who say they are Christians that have been using this site. Christianity Today had an article out that said that they expect in the next few weeks as many as 400 pastors will more than likely have to resign and step down because of this. And then they named, that's just the pastors, elders, deacons, Sunday school teachers, youth pastors, you name it. Now this is not brand new information, people. We've known in Christianity for quite a while that there is a problem in American churches with the adulteration of the marital bed. It's been going on for a long time. What do they say? The chickens are now coming home to roost. Is that what they say? Can somebody get me a bottle of water? I'm already cotton mouth, dry as a bone. Okay? But the chickens are coming home to roost. God, listen to me. You know what I think? I think God's getting ready to judge a nation. But He's going to judge the church first. This Bible's right. This Bible's right. Thou shalt not commit adultery. It's plain and simple. So you know me, I got a lot of verses, probably more than what will fit in between now and 12 o'clock. Will you please be patient with me and let me preach the message? Okay? Listen, I'm hungry already. Maybe it's just butterflies or whatever. I'm hungry. I'm tired. I don't want to be standing here. I don't want to go through this more than anybody else does. So just please be patient with me while I preach the word, okay? Because this is going out. Listen, in Kenya, I guarantee you they commit adultery, just like in America. I guarantee you they do. People all over the place are going to be listening to this, and we need to deal with it. We need to deal with it. We need to get honest as churches. We need to deal with it. Amen? God said in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 7, "Sanctify yourselves therefore and be ye holy. For I am the Lord your God, and ye shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctify you." Now, in that same chapter, he tells you to be holy. Now, look at what he says in verse 10. "And the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death." God was not kidding, was he? This was in the Old Testament law, this was an issue judged by death. If it was found out, both parties, because I'd always heard it takes two to tango, right? Okay? Both parties were to be put to death for the sin of adultery. And adultery is everything that falls outside of the line of the marital bed. Okay? Now, Leviticus, turn your Bibles to Leviticus 20. There's a whole list of things in Leviticus 20 that I'm just going to read. And then when we're done today, you go back and read it for yourself. The Bible's right. Amen? Amen. I don't know where to put that. Leviticus 20, verse 10 is what we just read. Let's look at verse 11. "The man that lieth with his father's wife hath uncovered his father's nakedness. Both of them shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them." That means you cannot have your daddy's... You cannot be in bed with your stepmom. "If a man lie with his daughter-in-law, both of them shall surely be put to death. They have wrought confusion. Their blood shall be upon them." That's easy to understand. "If a man also lie with mankind, as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination." Now listen to me, church. I would say this too. The church is dealing with issues of sodomy. There are sodomite pastors. And it's still in the closet. Sodomite youth pastors. Sodomite Sunday school teachers. It's everywhere. It's in our churches. Okay? God deals with one just like He deals with the other. You see any difference here? You see in this list where God says, now, it's not as bad when a man is with another woman. God didn't say that, did He? He said they'd be put to death. Man, if man also lies with man, as with mankind, as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. If a man take a wife and her mother, I don't understand that one at all. That's a little humor, okay? I mean, I love my wife and I love my mother-in-law, but they're not the same. Amen? It is wickedness. And they shall be burnt with fire, both he and they, that there be no wickedness among you. If a man lie with a beast, he shall surely be put to death, and ye shall slay the beast. Let me hear God's people say amen. That's also going on. I don't know if it's going on in the church, but that's going on. Verse 16, and if a woman approach unto any beast and lie down thereunto, thou shalt kill the woman and the beast. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. And verse 17, if a man shall take his sister, his father's daughter, or his mother's daughter, that be like a half-sister or something like that, half-brother or whatever, and see her nakedness, and she in his nakedness, it is a wicked thing, and that shall be cut off in the sight of their people. And he hath uncovered his sister's nakedness, and he shall bear his iniquity. And if a man shall, verse 18, shall lie with a woman having her sickness, look at that, and uncovering her nakedness, he hath discovered her fountain, she hath uncovered the fountain of her blood, and both of them shall be cut off from among their people. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister, nor thy father's sister, for he hath uncovered his near kin, and they shall bear their iniquity. And if a man shall lie with his uncle's wife, he hath uncovered his uncle's nakedness. They shall bear their sin, they shall be die childless. If a man shall take his brother's wife, it is an unclean thing. He hath uncovered his brother's nakedness, they shall be childless. And I'm going to tell you what, God is just drawing a great big circle around all of adulteration. Is He not? You think God's being fair here? He absolutely is. He's saying, while you look at other people who are doing this and you're doing that, you're just as guilty. And under the commandment, you would have been put to death. God is dead serious about it. We are destroying, even in the church, we're destroying the beauty of the holiness of Christ and His church. That's what marriage is all about. So is it right for Christ to have the church as His bride and the church go run around to other religions and other gods? Listen, God didn't put up with that. God didn't put up with that like He didn't put up with adultery. He had Israel killed for that stuff. He said, I'm your husband. You're not supposed to do that kind of stuff. And God is dead serious about this issue. He's not going to let anybody get away with it. He's going to come and get you. He's going to deal with you. He's going to deal with you hard. And you're going to be embarrassed. You're going to be ashamed because it is a shameful thing. It is a shameful thing. 35 million people scared to death that their names are going to be found out and somebody's going to know what they did. That's why these websites, they promise you, what's the word, anonymity? In other words, we'll keep the secret. We won't tell anybody. And you trust that? You trust that? I wouldn't trust it. What does that Bible say? Be sure what? Your sin. God's true, isn't He?
Amen.
Mark chapter 7, verse 18. He saith unto them, are you so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? That means I don't want to hear how bacon's bad for me. I can tell you what's bad for me right now. I'm admitting it. I am eating way too much bread and cereal. I mean, I'm eating it. And that ain't good. Actually, a high protein, low carbohydrate diet is much better for me. And that includes bacon and sausage and pork rinds. Amen? Cracklings, they call it. But he said, that's not what defiles you. Because it entereth not into his heart, but into his belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meat. Did you not ever consider that? When you eat pork, that doesn't go to your heart. goes in your belly. Okay? Now watch this. Verse 20, and he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men proceed, number one, evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications. First three things on the list of 13 things here. The first three things deal with the common issue. Number one, evil thoughts. That's fantasizing. Let me tell you, that's looking at a woman who is clothed and fantasizing about her. Okay? And let me just say this. Try and not covet a woman or a man. Try not. It is a near impossibility. I know that I'm not speaking to some people. There are some people who don't really have an issue with unclean thoughts, adultery, fornication, lasciviousness, and all that stuff. There are some people who are not. Paul, the Apostle Paul, never, that was not an issue with him. God made him different and unique. But just because someone comes to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, God does not then make them celibate. And while it may not be an issue for some, I will say that it is a serious issue with most people sitting in this church room this morning. Most. But maybe not all. Okay? Now, I'm not interested in exposing everybody in this church for who you really are. That is not why I'm doing this. When I'm done, I am not going to have you raise your hand. I'm not going to have you step forward. That's not what this is about. This is about us dealing with who we are. God's way. Not man's way. If this is getting to you, God has a way out for you that does not involve ending your life. All God wants to do is give you a better one on the other end of it. Do you believe that? And I'll show you that in a little bit. But he's right off the bat, the things that defile us are the evil thoughts. Why do the evil thoughts defile us? Who in here can read somebody's mind? Not really. My thoughts are my thoughts. But let me tell you something. The thoughts are the seeds of actions. The fruit will come out one of these days. Be sure you sin will find you out. So even when you're conceiving in your mind an adulterous situation with somebody, if you don't get that under the blood, if you don't let God chasten you for that, if you don't get that out of the way, those things, if you don't let the Bible plow that stuff up, those things will come to fruition. And that's really what's going on in our churches. There's not enough Bible amongst God's people. And here's what America, and I've been reading some things about this Duggar person, and I know how America thinks. They're saying, yeah, he gets up there and talks about how everybody else is supposed to live, and he's not doing it. They make us out to be hypocrites, and who in this church can tell them that they're wrong? See where we're at? He said, you're the salt of the earth. The salt lost its savor. Wherewith shall be salted? It is therefore good for nothing to be cast out and trodden under the feet of men. And we are being trodden under our morality and our rules and our guidelines for how we're supposed to live our lives and how we're supposed to conduct ourselves and our bodies. They are being trodden under the feet of men in this country. Why? Unjustly? No. They're justified in doing it. Oh, I didn't want to preach this. I don't. I still don't. Evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications. He's covering the whole thing. Murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye. Blasphemy. You ever give that to somebody? That come out of your heart, didn't it? You ever give somebody the evil eye? That come right out of your heart. Wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. The Bible's right. Galatians 5:19. Here's another list. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Four things. Top of the list. It always makes the top of the list for some reason. Why? Because with anybody from a probably a puberty age on, this is an issue. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. It's talking dirty or thinking dirty. Always thinking of people as objects rather than what they really are. Right off the top of the list. Right next to idolatry and witchcraft. Hatred, variance, emulations, riots, strife. By the way, the hatred crowd, the people who are condemning us, calling us haters, okay, homophobes, and oh, you hate black people, and oh, you hate gay people, and this and that and the other. The people who are calling us that are the adulterers and the fornicators. Okay? And I want to tell you this. The lost man is going to be burning right next to the church man one of these days. If the church man don't get right and the lost man don't get right. Strifes, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like of the which I tell you before, as I've told you, also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And is God justified in saying that? He absolutely, by the way, it's his house. He can have whoever he wants. Amen? And he just won't have the adulterers and the fornicators. Job 24:15. Watch this now. You watch this verse. The eye also of the adulterer waiteth for the twilight, saying, no eye shall see me, and disguiseth his face. That's what that website was all about. It's about disguising your identity and being able to hook up with people and commit adultery in a way that nobody would find out. So it's all a secret, all a big secret now. And he says the adulterer will wait for the twilight. You know what he's waiting for? He's waiting for the sun going down so everybody won't see him going to this gal's house. Or everybody won't see her going to this man's house. Because I got it figured for every man out there that commits adultery. Let's see, let's think about this here for a minute. For every man out there that commits adultery, there is a woman. It's always that way, isn't it? It's not just a male disease. It's a female disease. I've heard stories, one church after another, having to deal with this issue. Pastors having to deal with this issue. Church leaders having to deal with this issue. Many strong men, Proverbs says, are taken down by her. The strong men are taken down. Who was Samson? Strongest man in the whole Bible, wasn't he? What was his weakness? Delilah. Samson was in one whore's bed after another. That was his weakness. And it got him killed, didn't it?
Amen.
Now, God had grace and mercy on him, but it got him killed. Psalm 50. And unto the wicked God saith, what hast thou to declare my statutes, or that thou shouldest take my covenant in thy mouth, seeing that thou hatest instruction and castest my words behind me? You know who this verse is to? It's to the King James only fundamentalist Bible-believing churches. How dare you take my word in your mouth when you've been out committing adultery? And I want to tell you something. The King James Bible-believing and preaching churches seems like are more susceptible to it than the liberal churches are. Maybe it's because in the liberal churches it's glossed over and, it's just no big deal and they don't follow God's rules anyway. But what happens is that us preachers, we build ourselves up on this lofty pedestal and think nobody can bring us down because of who we are and what we believe and what we stand for, and we're the mighty servants of God. And here comes old Jezebel coming in, and many strong men are brought down by her. Many of them. Thou hatest instruction. Verse 18, when thou sawest the thief, thou consentest with him and hast been partaker with adulterers. Thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit. Thou sittest and speakest against thy brother. Thou slanderest thine own mother's son. These things hast thou done, and I kept silence. Though thou thoughtest that I was altogether such a one as thyself, but I will reprove thee and set them in order before thine eyes. Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright Will I show the salvation of God? And I'm not telling you that adultery is the unforgivable sin, that if you do that or you've committed this, whether it be in mind, sight, or in body, that there's no salvation for you, you're doomed to hell. I'm not telling you that. What I'm telling you is, God has got to get your life in order. Then He's got salvation for you. Then I will show you the salvation of God. But I'm going to get your life in order, whether you want to. Well, in fact, if you don't want to, then I'll leave. That's God. Amen? Proverbs 6:23. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Always somebody telling you, no, you shouldn't be doing that. Shouldn't be doing that. That's the way of life, isn't it? To keep thee from the evil woman. From the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. You know what the logo on the ash... And listen, I don't go visit that. But their logo, they've had it in news stories. Their logo is, have an affair. That's their slogan. They're telling you up front what you would be able to do if you hook into this website. Literally have an affair between you and somebody else. And God's instructions is meant to try to keep you from that. Because God knows the destruction that it brings, doesn't He? God's on your side, people. He really is. He's been trying to tell you right for a long time. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let it... You see where it is? Lust not after her beauty where? In thine heart. Heart. Because it's already in there, isn't it? It's already in there. There's something that you're going to do that's going to open that up and let it out. It's defilement. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? So he that goeth into his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her, shall not be innocent. Men do not despise the thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. And that's true, amen? That's true. Why did you steal that? Listen, my children are home. And I can't feed them. And they need food. Shoot, if somebody stole from here and that was really the reason why, I'd give them whatever they needed. But... If a man be found, but if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. And he that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. Jared, the subway guy, they canceled his contract. And they won't renew it. Not even after he gets out of prison. He was worth $35 million. Did you know that? He was worth $35 million for losing weight on submarine sandwiches. Who'd have thunk it? And he destroyed his life and his reputation. This Bible is right, people. It's right. Jeremiah 3, verse 8. And I saw when, for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I'd put her away, given her a bill of divorce. By the way, God will do it, and your wife will do it. Oh, but we don't believe in divorce. Well, go out and have an affair with a bunch of women, and you may give her no choice. And who in here will judge a woman who divorced her husband, if he was out jumping from bed to bed? Who in here would judge that woman? I wouldn't. No way, no how. He had it coming. I hope she takes 90% of his stuff in the divorce too. Amen? I'll leave him a little bit to go to work on. Verse 9, yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. So you know what he's teaching you here? The 10 tribes of the northern area of Israel, they played the harlot. They committed adultery against God now. God wrote her a bill of divorce, and God put them out of the land, and they went into Assyria, and they were scattered all over the place. This is why Jews live in New York to this day. They literally were scattered to the four corners of the earth. Jerusalem, upon seeing this and saying, I don't want that to happen to me, upon hearing that God scattered the 10 tribes, they went way beyond what the 10 tribes did. They didn't learn their lesson. Now, let me tell you something. These things are coming out now, and they're on the news, and you're going to read about them, you're going to hear about them, and God is using them as a warning shot to you. Repent. Repent. Cut out this stuff. Cut out this nonsense. Get on your knees. Fast and pray before God. God will help you. God will deliver you. God will help you through this stuff. He may not do it overnight, but He'll help you. He'll deliver you. If you take the warning. Who in here wants to be Josh Duggar? Who in here would say, we'd all say, I don't want to be in his shoes. That's God's warning to an adulterous church, an adulterous religion, where people in churches all across this country are involved in adultery. That's a warning. Came to pass through the lightness of her whoredom that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and stocks. You know what that is? Stones and stocks? Idols. Stones, they took stones and carved idols, and stocks is a stick. It's a piece of wood, and they made an idol out of it. And God said they committed adultery with those things. What kind of adultery was that? Yeah. Spiritual adultery. They had God as their husband, and they went out to other gods, a whoring to other gods. You see that all through the Old Testament. They went a whoring to other gods. And yet for all this, her treacherous sister Judah hath not turned unto me with her whole heart, but faintedly, saith the Lord. And by the way, you can repent and you can make a big scene in the church, and God knows whether or not you're real or not. You need not fool any. The Lord said unto me, the backsliding hath justified herself more than treacherous Judah. It's not the lost crowd that's getting the attention now, is it? It's the church people. Jeremiah 5. How shall I pardon thee for this? Thy children have forsaken me, and sworn by them that are no gods. By the way, we're starting to get into the effect of what adultery does in a religion. They start changing their gods to keep their adultery. When I fed them to the full, they then committed adultery and ascended themselves by troops in the harlots' houses. They were as fed horses in the morning. Everyone neighed after his neighbor's wife. Shall I not say, saith the Lord, and shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? Here's what it does to preachers. I've seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem an horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. You know what happened to most preachers? Most preachers, instead of dealing with their sin, they will simply change their doctrine to accommodate it. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of the evildoers. There is a church, it kind of made the Facebook rounds yesterday, a church that allowed a sodomite man to propose to another sodomite inside their church during the church service. And everybody went, oh, that's so beautiful! See what I mean? In order to accommodate adultery, they change their doctrine. They strengthen the hands of the evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom. See, there it is right there. And the inhabitants thereof is Gomorrah. Chapter 29 of Jeremiah, because they have committed villainy in Israel and have committed adultery with their neighbors' wives and have spoken lying words in my name, which I have not commanded them, even I know and am a witness, saith the Lord. See, right there they speak lying words. Your sin will alter your doctrine. Amen. You let it go, and it will. You let God chastise you, and you'll always keep on the straight and narrow, knowing God's right. And that's, listen, I'm not preaching to you people or anybody else today that after I'm done preaching, this will all be over with in your life and you'll never have to deal with it again. I'm not that naive. Not. For most, like I said before, for most people, most Christians, they'll struggle with it the rest of their life. Well, till they get to be, I don't know, 70, 80, 90 years old. Okay? And then it just ain't that big a deal anymore. But listen to me. Listen to me. There are grandfathers in prison right now for molesting their own grandchildren. Perverts. Listen, I told you I did not want to preach this. But God wouldn't let me. Nothing else showed up. What I'm saying to you is, let God deal with you today and tomorrow and next month and next year. And let God do a process and a work of sanctification in your life. Let God do with you what the cigarette clinic did with my uncle. My uncle Jay was a truck driver. Nice fella. I love my Uncle Jay. I love him. Good guy. But he smoked and sucked them cigarettes, 3, sometimes 4 packs a day, sitting in the cab of that truck. And he finally got to where he said, I can't take it anymore. So this is back even in the early 80s. He checked himself into a cigarette clinic. And they had a little problem. He's going to, you know, put him on this medicine or whatever. But they put him in a room. And they had 10 unfiltered cigarettes sitting there. And he had to suck them down one after another as fast as he could. And they had one of those big metal bowls, you know, you mix stuff in, ladies. They had it full of ashes and cigarette butts that had been wetted down. And they made him stick his head over that bowl and suck down these 10 lucky strikes as fast as he could. He said, it got to about the 8th or 9th one. He said, my shoes came up out of my mouth. I puked so bad. He said, I've never been so sick in my life. And he said, what happened was they changed how a cigarette tastes to me. They had to. Because I went home and lit one up and he said, ugh! And everybody around him for years has been going, ugh! Listen, you know what? Liz, I'm going to tell you what God will do for you. He'll make it distasteful to you. You'll hate it. You'll hate it. That's God's process. Let Him do it. Amen? 2 Peter 2:14, the false prophets of the world have eyes full of adultery. Now, there's several things I want to say with this, and I'm going to move on. Listen to me now. Having eyes full of adultery. Probably most people know what this is. It is, you're walking around and you look at some woman or ladies, you look at some man, and all of a sudden he turns and look at you and your eyes meet. And in that second there, there's an adultery going on in that look. Having eyes full of adultery. Okay? When that happens, turn away. But the false prophets can't. They cannot cease from sin. False prophets will keep looking. And then they'll go try to get that gal's number. Or they'll look her up on Facebook or do whatever. Okay? That's eyes full of adultery. The other part of that is looking at images, videos, whatever. And that has flooded this country. Everywhere. That's eyes full of adultery. Look away. Get down on your knees. Amen? And move on. Ezekiel 16. How weak is thine heart, saith the Lord God, seeing thou doest all these things, the work of an imperious, whorish woman, and that thou buildest thine eminent place in the head of every way, and makest thine high place in every street, and hast not been as an harlot, and that thou scornest hire. You know, harlots do it for money. harlot will do it for money. But look at what he says. But as a wife that committeth adultery, which taketh strangers instead of her husband, they give gifts to all whores, but thou givest thy gifts to all thy lovers. That is the women who are on the internet paying money to hook up with men. Listen, it's on both sides, isn't it? And the Bible is an equal opportunity forgiver of sins. Because if it's a problem with men, it's a problem with women. It has to be dealt with, has to be prayed about, has to be sanctified. God to deal with you. Let him in. You've heard that it was said, and I looked at these verses last night and was going to take them out. And God said, well, you're not going to preach the whole council? Now, I don't have the perfect answer for this. To me, divorce and remarriage is, I'm still not settled on what exactly is right. There are some things I know for a fact, but I'm still not all settled on what is wrong and what is right in divorce and remarriage. But this is the Word of God, and I've got to preach it. If you heard that it was said that by them of old time thou shalt not commit adultery, but I say unto you, whoever took look on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her in his heart. That's not the verse I was talking about, but I'm getting to there. We all know this. Adultery comes in different forms. Either the physical act or just the thought. Okay? Just the thought. And how long does the thought take? Not very long at all, does it? You know what Jesus is doing here? He's not letting the religious crowd get away with anything. And he's not going to let us. I'm shaking because of that camera that is on us here in this place. And if it happens to any one of us, it's not just going to stay right here, is it? We have a greater responsibility, do we not? Amen. People are counting on us. We have to take that seriously. And to be honest with you, I go to God and say, God, I'm not sure you picked the right church. I don't know. I don't think we can do this. But you know what I know about God? He does not repent of His gifts and His callings. And if God didn't want us doing this, we wouldn't be doing it. So that's a little sign of hope here. That God says, well, of course you can't do it. This is where I come in. And I don't ever want to have a church service where God doesn't get to come in. Here's what I was getting at. I've got to put this up here and let God say what He wants to say. That whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery. And all God's people said. That's the Word of God, and I can't doubt because it's inconvenient. Can't do it. Adultery destroys doctrine. Look at this. He answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. You know what this is leading up to? This is an adulterous generation, is it not? Amen. Guess who's going to come and give them signs and wonders? False prophet. By the way, many false prophets are already doing this to an adulterous generation of church people. Already doing it. Matthew 16:4, wicked and adulterous generation thinking after a sign. He said it twice in the same book. Matthew 12, Matthew 6. I did not know that until last night. He said it twice in the same book. That's two witnesses right there. He hit you with it once. Now you got to turn the other cheek and he's going to hit you with it again. He's warning you. That's what will happen. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation. Listen, the adulterous generation will be ashamed of God's Word, won't they? See, it changes doctrine, doesn't it? James 4:4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is in the enmity with God? An adulterous generation will be friends with the world. That's already going on. Already going on. Churches are whores in that they're opening themselves up to everybody that goes by saying, what can I do to please you to get you to come in unto me? And I was going to do that one day. And God whooped me. Jeremiah 7, you trust in lying words, it cannot profit. I think I already read. Oh, look at verse 12. But go ye now into my place which was in Shiloh, where I set my name at the first, and see what I did to it for the wickedness of my people Israel. Did anybody know that Shiloh was the original capital of Israel before Jerusalem? Shiloh was. You know what happened to it? God destroyed it. You know why? Adultery. Ears, the Israelites did not have the Ark of the Covenant in their capital because it was in Shiloh, and God destroyed Shiloh, and it wasn't until David that he finally brought it in. God's speaking to his people. I'm almost done. And you listen to this. Okay? This is your way out. This is your help. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Let me hear you say amen to that. Amen. So what does that mean? I want to go to heaven. I want to inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators. It's right at the top of the list again. Idolaters, adulterers, nor effeminate. You know who that is? That's that 17-year-old boy out of Hillsboro who dresses in a wig and a dress and calls himself a woman. When he has a baby, then I'll consider it. Amen. Amen, ladies? Some of you ladies, you ought to be mad at that. Listen, you want to be a lady? Let me tell you what comes with the package. Amen. You may not be one after I tell you what's going on in here. The furnace. Oh my goodness, the furnace. You may not want to be a woman. Listen, that boy is headed to hell. And you know, listen, and his mommy probably is headed there before him. She's the one probably put up with it, led him that way. She's the one. You believe that? Say amen. The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind. That is people who have practiced sodomy. Does God forgive effeminism and sodomy? Yes. Because He says, and such were some of you. But ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord and by the Spirit of our God. And I dare you to take this verse then and say, well, I can go do it. I'll be saved. Yeah, my preacher told me that I don't have to worry about that. I can just go to heaven. I can be whatever I want to and go to heaven. I heard my preacher say it. Your preacher's probably doing it. See, I told you, adultery will change a man's doctrine. He'll tell people that they can live in adultery and still go to heaven. I don't care what you call it. You call it Calvinism. You can call it whatever you want to. I'm telling you, adultery will change a man's doctrine. So I dare you walk out of this message and say, well, bless God, I'm saved. I think I can do whatever I want to now and not have to worry about it. Come see me in a year. Let me know how it worked. Luke 18, this last place right here. It's the last place. This is it. Luke 18, I appreciate you letting me have the time. Okay? Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank Thee that I am not as other men are. You know who he's... He sounds like a King James Bible believing fundamentalist who, listen to me, who pretends that he's not like other people. They're pretending. Because the truth is, we are. And if I didn't think we were, I would have gone outside to the street corner to preach this message. But we are like other people. I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. You know what a publican is? Not a Republican. A publican is someone who went to public houses, pubs. A publican was someone who liked to carouse and run around in public. That's what a publican is. He's a drunk, he's an adulterer, he's a fornicator, he's a drug dealer. That's what a publican is. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up his eyes unto heaven. But well, you know why? When you look down, you're ashamed. And you should be. You need to be. Before I finish this, can I tell you what I think is going to happen to Josh Duggar? I think God is rattling his cage. I think God is dealing with him in the strongest way possible. Because let me tell you what happened. After he came through this deal with his sisters, he went around telling everybody, I'm a changed man. And even in so much as before this story broke, he was at a... See, he's the representative of Family Values. He was even working for a Family Values Coalition 501c3 in New York, being their spokesman. And let me say this. I like the Duggars. I like their standards. And I like their values. Those do not keep you from being a sinner. Do not depend on, well, we dress this way and we only do things this way. Do not depend on sin. Always finds a way of getting around that stuff, doesn't it? Do we not know that? Always finds a way. I'm not knocking them. Trust me, I'm not. But in some cases, when I see people like that, it's a cover. And the only cover allowed for your sin is Christ's blood, not your dress, ladies, and not your tie, men. But he stood up in a church while the pastor promoted him, called him a changed man, said he's God's using him. Could God be the? And he stood there and smiled. And then his name came out. His arrogance got a hold of him. And listen, I'm not mean against him. I pray for him every day. I do. I pray for him every day. Because God's going to take him. He's going to bust him up in a billion pieces. And then God is going to remake him in God's image and not man's. So let me finish this. The publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful unto me, a sinner. This man went down to his house justified, rather than the other, for every one that exalteth himself shall be abased. And he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. That's the word of the Lord. You're an adulterer. You are. You have two choices with it. Run with it and then pretend like you're better than everybody else. God, use it. You know the best way to humble somebody? Humiliate them. God does that to us, doesn't he? I'd be glad that he did. Because that's where he wants you. I don't want this church arrogant, proud. I want this church on its knees where we belong, asking God for mercy continuously. And then let God make some changes. So, no bowing your head, closing your eyes, raising your hand, coming forward. But I do want you to bow your head.